Welcome to my Father's House podcast, bonus episode 170, Outreach Training. Pastor Harley Coulterman, Tanya Schnitz, Cheryl Jackson, and Sarah Velasquez delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana on January 16th, 2021.
Opportunity to press back. Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the presence of Jesus in our lives. We have His peace that surpasses understanding, keeps and guards our hearts and minds by through His love and through His power and through His continual prompting through the Holy Spirit in our lives. So pressure can be a good thing, could be a bad thing, but some of what pressure is what you make it. So in the book of John, the 21st chapter, we see a time when the disciples were under pressure. Their whole world had been turned upside down. They served and loved Jesus and walked with Jesus for 3 years. He ministered into their lives and poured into them. Their hopes and their dreams were set on the kingdom of God coming in their time. Their understanding of current events was that Jesus was the King, was the Messiah, the one that was sent from God. But their perception of how the events would turn out got turned upside down when they nailed Jesus to the cross. Even though He warned them, He talked to them, He chided them, He tried to get them to see so that they would be ready. He tried to get them to watch and pray so they would be ready. He tried to get them to move in the direction of the will of God for Him, to see clearly what the prophets had foretold, to understand the scriptures that He had expounded to them. But maybe they missed that session, they missed that lesson. And now everything was upside down. But then some women came and told them, you know, Jesus is raised from the dead. They were hidden behind locked doors, afraid, wondering who's going to be next. Their world was turned upside down. So it made them so, the pressure made them so introspective that they couldn't even believe the good news, even though Jesus had foretold what the good news would be. So when the women came, they didn't believe them. When other disciples saw Him, they didn't believe them. When Jesus appeared to them, they hardly believed Him. Thomas, one of them, said even, well, just make sure you let me touch your side and touch your hands, and I want to be sure so I can believe. And Jesus said, blessed are they who have not seen me but yet believed. Pressure. They were under pressure. So Jesus had appeared. The Bible says that He appeared to a lot of people when He got raised from the dead. Over 500 in one occasion He appeared to them. So, and He appeared to the disciples a number of times, at least five times that I can recall. So anyway, in John 21, we see the response to pressure. It says in verse 2 that Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, you know, this is the one who doubted, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. Isn't it amazing how friends hang together? Sometimes unbelief hangs together. Sometimes fear hangs together. Sometimes people under pressure hang together. I'm going out to fish, he said, and they're going with him. So they went out, got into the boat, but that night, they caught nothing. Imagine that. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said to them, throw your net out on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, He wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning, burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" I don't know if he was pointing to the people or the fish. When they had finished eating, he said this to him, and Simon said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Verily I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate what kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." So I think this is an amazing story. Of course, the disciples of Jesus, but really of human nature. Because when the pressure is on, and when everything that's inside of you wants to go back to the career, back to the job, back to when you were younger, back to some place that was more comfortable, back to some place that had no pressure, back to some place where your friends were, back to something out there somewhere in Never Never Land that you can't really get back to, but your mind is going back there, your heart is going back there, your flesh is pulling you back there. The pressure is on to go back. And right in the middle of it, conviction shows up. It's Jesus showing up in the middle of your pressure. Now that should be reassuring, but to the disciples, I suppose it was a little bit frightening because they knew all of the expectations that Jesus had for them. They knew that the 3 years that they spent with him were designed to prepare them for the future. It's just that the future didn't turn out like they thought it would. And now Jesus was talking about going somewhere else. In fact, they remembered probably. He said, "I'll just be with you a little longer and then I'll be gone." And maybe they even remembered something of what he said about sending another comforter to be with them and so forth and so on. What could that possibly mean? They'd been wrong about everything so far. So maybe they had a wrong perception of what he meant about that too. So uncertainty dogged them and flagged them and tagged them. And they were going back fishing because that's what they were comfortable with. I don't know, I guess Thomas must have been a fisherman or else he was a tag along. Maybe he was a wannabe. I don't know about Nathaniel. It says he was from Cana in Galilee, so quite likely he was a fisher, came from a fisherman's family at least, so he knew about fishing. The sons of Zebedee, we know that they used to be partners with Peter. So it seems like it was their comfort zone that they were going back to. But you and I have the same challenges today, the same pressures today. When things change, we don't like it. When things are different, we're not comfortable. When the pressure steps up, we get uncomfortable, even more uncomfortable. But in the middle of our pressure, here comes Jesus.
Amen.
Right in the middle of our deal, here comes Jesus. Here comes the conviction of the Holy Spirit that He sent to comfort us. Mm-hmm. And now He's prodding us. Mm-hmm. Get out of your comfort zone. Come to this new place. Come to the place where I am. Mm-hmm. Come to the place where I'm leading you. Come to the place where I'm guiding you. Pressure can be a good thing because it can get us going in the right direction. So, when Jesus comes, He identifies Himself in unmistakable ways. In this story, Jesus identified Himself through the miracle. He identified Himself to the first time these guys encountered Him. Remember the story? They were on the shore washing their nets. A few chapters back, they were washing their nets, getting ready to put it up for the day because they had fished all night, caught nothing. Jesus borrowed Peter's boat, rowed it out a little bit, began to speak and minister to the people. And then He spoke to them. He said, "Peter, come here. Take out your boat and cast out the nets. There's fish out there. You'll catch a bunch." And Peter said, "Yeah, well, what do you know about fishing? However, out of respect, I'll go cast out the net." And when they did, they almost sunk two ships. And the nets began to break. Couldn't hold the load of fish. The net, I guess, it said he cast out one instead of more. So, in this miracle on the shore, Jesus brought them back to their beginnings. And after that, He had told them, "Follow Me. Come, I'm going to make you fishers of men." Implying that they could catch men like they could catch fish. Implying that the miracle of the catch would be the same. That the miracle of the catch would bring multitudes. That the miracle of the catch would take them to a new place. But it was just a different fishing hole. A kind that was unfamiliar to them. A kind that would be uncomfortable to them. So those 3 years He had been training them, teaching them, leading them, guiding them, taking them to new places in God, taking them to new heights of what God could do for them, in them, through them, to them. And now they would have to either believe Him and accept and go out and launch out into the deep unknown. Or they could go back to their career. They could go back to their fishing and fish for fish instead of fishing for men. They had a decision to make. But Jesus identified Himself in unmistakable ways when He took the bread and He took the fish and gave it to them. I can imagine Him breaking the bread and blessing it and giving it to them, saying, "Come on, boys, let's eat. It's breakfast time. Come on, let's get going here." And the familiarity that they had with what they had done with Him for 3 years began to flood them, flood their lives, the memories, the mighty miracles that they saw Him do, the miracles that He involved them in. All of those things began to flood in on them right in the middle of their pressure to go back. So when Jesus calls you, He calls you back to purpose. He had a plan. Mm-hmm. He had a purpose for these lives. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And He's showing up in the middle of our pressure, in the middle of your pressure, to call you to that purpose, to call you to that plan. Yes, things have changed. Things are different. Things are radically different. And the pressure is on. But the same Jesus that called you at the beginning is calling you again. He's wanting to know, are you going to go back? Or are you going to go forward? Are you going to retreat? Or are you going to advance? How will you answer his call? It's unmistakably him. He's right here. We can sing about it. We can talk about it. We can preach about it. But in reality, we have to recognize, like they did, it is the Lord. It's not just another man, not another person, not another friend. It's the Lord. He's the Lord. He is the King. He is the head of the church.
Amen.
And he's calling us back, back to our purpose. So then the end of the story, he comes to Peter. Peter's the one who's impetuous, the one who's sometimes vulgar, the one who's a little bit over the top, the one who's the A-type person, the one who's the leader of leaders. And he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you really love me? Peter, do you really, really love me? And each time, he takes Peter from fishing to farming. He says, feed my sheep. So sometimes we think, my calling is just this. I guess Peter probably had some kind of an estimate of who he was when he was walking with Jesus. He probably envisioned how his leadership would look in those 3 years when he was walking with Jesus. But now some history had happened. Instead of sticking with Jesus, he went to sleep. Instead of watching and praying, he slept on. Instead of staying with Jesus and defending him to the death, he ran away. He denied him. And then he cried bitterly. But now Jesus is calling him back to his purpose. Maybe he saw himself as the great evangelist of the team, the best spokesman for the team, the strongest person of the team. And Jesus is calling him to make disciples. He said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my people. Calling back to purpose. In a few days he would leave, go back to heaven, and he said to these same disciples, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you, and I'll be with you even to the end of the age. He's calling us back. He's calling us back to our purpose. So maybe you think your area is the go team. You might think your area is the prayer team. You might think your area is the discipleship team. But Jesus is the Lord.
Yeah.
And he's calling you to purpose. Whatever your part is to play, he's calling you back. Not to your comfort zone. Not to the areas you think you can do best, but his appointed plan and purpose for you. And as you step into that and recognize that he's the Lord, it'll come out okay, because he said he'd be with you. He'd be with you to the ends of the age. So let's pray. Father, thank you for these that have come on purpose, Father. They've made some decisions, Lord. They've indicated to leadership, Father God, that they're ready to go. They're ready to pray. They're ready to make disciples. So I ask you, Lord, to honor their faith and their faithfulness, Lord, to honor their commitment that they've made to you and they've made to leadership. We ask you, Lord, that you would just put your precious, special anointing from heaven on them today as we pray and as we seek you and as we worship you. Thank you for your presence here, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word that you are imparting into us, Lord. Thank you for your anointing that's destroying the yokes and lifting the burdens and pulling us out of the destructive pressure and putting us into the right kind of pressure, Lord. Pressure that comes only just from following you and understanding your will and your plan and your purpose in our lives. So, Father, keep us sharp, keep us healthy, keep us strong. Keep us in faithfulness, Lord. And for it, we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. All right, guys. We're going to talk about one verse, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Amplified Version says, receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What is power? We're going to be showing you some words today. So the power, what is power? The ability to do something or act in a particular way. The capacity or ability to direct or influence the behavior of others or the course of events. Power implies possession of ability to wield force, authority, jurisdiction, control, command, sway, dominion. It means the right to govern or rule, to determine. Wow, that's what we're going to get. That's what you will receive power, all of that. We need this power to fulfill our mission just like the disciples did. We must walk in the power of the Holy Spirit to be led by Him. Sometimes we like to run ahead of God a lot. But Acts 1:4 says we must wait for the gift my Father promised, the Holy Spirit. Today we're bringing you these six words to your attention to open our eyes to more of the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to reveal where you can grow in these areas. The six words that we're going to talk about today that the Holy Spirit brings in power is ability, authority, boldness, confidence, courage, and insight. So my two words today are authority and boldness. What is authority? I'm just going to just read the definitions that I looked up, and you can get them the same out of their Google as I did. But I really, really liked, as I researched more and more about what does authority mean. It's the power or the right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. As disciple makers, that's what we're trying to do. We are going to be successful in bringing people to understand these rules need to be enforced. Having power or control in a particular organization or a sphere. In your community, in your little circle, we need to do this. A power of control or influence, a right, usually because of rank or office, to issue commands. Feeling kind of, this is good. Power to settle disputes, jurisdiction, the right to control, command, or determine. When Jesus gives you authority, you have the right to say something. Person or persons in whom authority is vested. The Holy Spirit invests in us, and He tells us, you have this authority. Speak it. Having the legal power to make and enforce the law. And an accepted source of information, advice, and etc. People will call you when you're walking in authority. They'll say, hey, I need help. When we know who we are in Christ, our identity, we can stand in confidence of our position, which is our calling. And we can use all authority in where the Lord is taking us. So as we walk into something new, into something out of our comfort zone, we can walk into that because we have the authority given to us by the Holy Spirit. If you need more authority feeling in your life, then get in there with the Holy Spirit and get it from Him. He's got it for you. So my other word is boldness. What is boldness? Willingness to take risk and act creatively in a new or different way. Oh dear, we saw that last Sunday when I ran up the aisle screaming, woohoo. And I watched that on YouTube. I thought, who was that crazy chick? Oh my goodness. But you know what? That is what he's calling for. Boldness, being willing to be creative and different. I think I was different for sure. Confidence and courage. If you need confidence, you need courage, then ask for more boldness. I'm pressing in for that. The quality of having a strong, vivid, and a clear way of participating or appearing. Being willing to undertake things that involve risk or danger. Yep, go right into a COVID house. I am. I did that on Monday. Quality of standing out strongly and distinctly. People see something different in you when you walk in this boldness. We see many examples of boldness in the Bible. And I especially love reading about Peter's boldness in Acts 2:14. And I love that he just told us how he was before. Because he became a completely different person from what he described after being filled with the Holy Spirit. He became powerful and a dynamic speaker. And he took the whole crowd all the way to repentance. From beginning to end, he took them all the way to repentance. He had no fear. And he had 3,000 people get baptized in one speech. Use us this way, Lord. Use us. Promised it was going to be short and sweet.
Hallelujah, if you can believe that. Thank you, Jesus. All right. My two words today. Hi, Abigail. My two words today are confidence and ability. The definition that I looked up was firm belief or trust, faith. And so I wrote down 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence or firm belief or trust or faith that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Okay? So that confidence we have is we're confident in him, not in us. And we're confident, or we have that firm belief or trust that he hears us when we ask him according to his will. Also, Hebrews 10:35 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Once again, you can put in there, do not cast away your firm belief, your trust, or your faith, because it has great reward. Not just a reward, it's this great reward. So we're looking for that. God, we want our great reward. Because we're not going to cast away our confidence, because our confidence is in him, the creator of the universe, who lives in us. So there's our confidence. Okay, my next word is ability. The quality or condition of being able. Power to perform or accomplish. Well, our ability is not in ourselves. Our ability is in him, because Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, the Holy Spirit, that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever. Amen. So the ability is in him and not us. Okay? He is able. And we need to relinquish the reins, people, and let him do it. I'm reading through the Bible, and it talks all about what he has done, what he wants to do, what he's able to do. Okay? And Romans 16:25-26, now to him who is able to establish you, he's able to do it. According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, kept secret since the world began, but now, right now, made manifest and by prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, so nobody's left out, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. So we have that confidence in him, and the ability is in him. It's all in him, because he said he was the one that does the good work in us. He says, he who has begun a good work in us shall complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship created unto Christ. So it's in him and him and him. And we need to stop trying to do it in ourselves, in our flesh, and on our own, and let him do it. We're just to rest in him and allow him to do it. The confidence and ability is in him and not in ourselves. Amen.
Amen. Okay, my two words are insight and courage. So I related them specifically to thinking about my aspect of the disciple team, but they can obviously apply to all of us. We, in any area of life that we are walking in and called to, we need that insight. We need courage. So starting with insight, it comes from the Holy Spirit, right?
Amen.
I in discipling Tanya, for example, the Holy Spirit knows her a lot better than I do, and I need his direction. I need his wisdom. I need words of wisdom, words of knowledge to be able to flow with his power. The power comes from him to be able to walk with somebody. It's a responsibility to walk with somebody. It's a privilege. It's awesome to be able to, we're all called to make disciples. And he trusts us to do it. Wow. But he's giving us the power and that insight to be able to, know things about somebody and know what they need and, maybe say, use this key. And then, remind the person, hey, you have this key. Use your authority or, XYZ, whatever they need in a particular situation. We can't do it alone. Making disciples, nor would we want to, right? Because we're not called to also just make like replicas. We don't want a bunch of little Sarahs running around or a bunch of little Tanyas running around or any of us, right? We want the person that the Holy Spirit has, what they have put in, what he has put in their lives, what he has dreamt about from before they were in their mother's womb, for that person. And we are called to just help them walk in that journey and discover who they are in him, right? So he will show you what that person needs as we're discipling, making disciples. Proverbs 8, verse 14, this is, I'm going to just turn there. It's wisdom talking. It's the voice of wisdom that's Book of Proverbs is full of, it's wisdom's call. So wisdom is calling out to us and saying, hey, get me, get wisdom, get understanding, right? So Proverbs 8, verse 14, it says, counsel and sound judgment are mine. This is wisdom talking, right? I have insight. I have power. I like that a lot. When I have insight from the Holy Spirit about, in this case, making a disciple, then that gives me power. And not to lord it over them, not for me, but power from the Holy Spirit to pour into that person's life so that the more of the life of Jesus is set free and released in their life. And how cool, we are used as vessels. He wants to use us in that way in somebody's life by giving us insight. Okay. Courage. Who isn't that required in disciple making? I've been in situations where, especially depending on the person's personality, it can be a little intimidating to disciple somebody and It just like, what do I have to give, or what can I, well, that's why I need insight from the Holy Spirit, but I need that courage. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us one of power, of love. So I'm making that disciple and speaking to them, ministering to them through power, through love, and through a sound mind, right? And we need the Lord's courage to correct and confront sometimes in somebody's life. We're doing it out of love because we love them and we want to see the character of Christ formed in them. We want to see the calling released in their life and them walking in that. And sometimes as a disciple maker, that calls us to correct and confront. And we need that courage to be able to do it. How do we get that? Something I've discovered, praying in the Spirit for that person. Tap into the heart of God, because I can have knowledge and certain feelings or about a person, and maybe like the Holy Spirit is giving me insight and showing me something that he wants me to maybe correct or confront in a person. And I had this experience a couple years ago, not with somebody, with a very close friend of mine. So she allows me to speak into her life. It's not necessarily a discipleship relationship, but like when we talk, I say things, I speak things. Excuse me, I gotta grab a tissue. Whoops, 4-2. Excuse me. So the Lord was showing me and confronting me. I think I was preparing a message to preach, and I'm typing this thing out, and it was like all sounding really nice, and the Holy Spirit was like, stop. How can you get up there and say that, whatever I was saying about, I don't know what it was, but it was like I was not walking in what I was writing that I was going to say in my message, because he confronted me and I hadn't delivered that message yet to this friend because of fear, because it was something really personal. It was a key. It was confronting her in a sin, but she had shared a problem, an obstacle that she was having in her life. And the Lord showed me it's because of that sin years ago. And he said, tell her. And I'm like, I can't do that. You know, I can't do that. I can't do that. Like, I'm just peaceful, peacemaker Sarah. Like, I don't want to ruffle feathers. Like, I'm the middle child. Like, this is my, you know. Nope. When you're called to Jesus, it doesn't matter if you're the middle child. It doesn't matter what you think you are, you know, your persona or how you usually are. God says, I'm calling you out. I'm calling you to make a difference in this person's life. Set her free. Like, you have truth and I'm showing it to you. Set her free. And I struggled. But how did I get to that place where I was ready to, with joy in my heart, call her and say, hey, I've got to tell you about your sin, you know? Like, how did I do that? I prayed in the Spirit. I got with God and I prayed in the Spirit. And oh my gosh, like my own feelings just went out the window when I really tapped into the heart of God. I began to pray in the Spirit for her and I began to weep. And I remember Santos came over and was like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm okay. I'm just got to pray this through. Like, I was praying. It really was like me connecting to God's heart for her. And it was like, who am I to get in the way of that? Who am I? Like, my own feelings of fear of, like, you know, she could be really mad at me. I could lose this friendship. I mean, we've been friends since first grade. I mean, this is a long time friend, you know? And all my own fear went out the window, because it was like, God wants to get this message to her, and I have the key to be able to do it. And so praying in the Spirit, that's how you do this. That's how you get the courage, because it's not about me, and I'm going to move out of the way because God wants to do something in her life, and I can be used in, you know, I'm a channel of blessing and freedom to her. And so I did. So I called her up, and I think before I prayed, I obligated myself and I texted her saying, hey, I want to talk to you. When can we talk? And just so like hold myself accountable. But God gave me a, She wasn't ready, and I hadn't prayed and got myself out of the way yet. And so God set that up and allowed me to have time to do that, so that I was really ready then when she said, okay, yeah, you can call or whatever. So I called her, and she received it. Praise God. I mean, it was just really awesome. So that courage is so key, because he wants us to walk in that from him, so that we can get out of the way in discipling, making disciples, because it's really him doing it through us, right? And just a reminder, Isaiah 61, because the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, and he's on you, because the Lord has anointed me. This could apply to the go team. This can apply to the prayer team. This can apply to the disciple team. He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives. In that situation, that's what I was doing. He was asking me to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. And it goes on. So that's what we are anointed to do, whether whatever team you are called to be on or multiple ones. And the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us to do that. And he gives us that power to go to the ends of the earth, to make disciples. And we're going to do it through his power. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.